So let's get started. I'm going to talk about the update on the auto protocol. So recently, if you follow the mailing list, you'll see there are a lot of discussions about auto protocol. And also, of course, we really want, as one of the co-authors, we have six here, and we really want to make a progress to fix all the issues in the auto protocol. Okay. So next slide, please. And here's outline of what we want to talk about on the auto protocol draft. So the first one, we'll talk about summary of changes. And for those of you who did not follow auto very closely, we'll give you a high-level summary about what we have changed from the internal meeting. And then we'll talk about the proposed changes. And I believe we have reached agreement on quite a lot of issues. So therefore, I'm going to summarize the proposed changes. And then there's one more item, actually not items, one more item only. And we have some issues we need to discuss. We need your feedback, we need your opinions about how to close that issue. And then we have a proposed timeline. We don't know if we're at a position to talk about a proposed timeline, but we do want to see how aggressive we are, and we want to show you essentially what our plan is. Next slide, please. So let me start with the summary of changes we made from version 16 to version 17. And the changes are based on the working group internal meeting on June 19th. It was very well attended. And also, of course, a lot of human discussions after the meeting. And Vijay, I believe, sent out a summary about the changes, and the summary of changes posted to the working group on this particular email. So that's a link to the email if you want to check. And some major items we changed from version 6 to version 7. One is we revised the introduction a little bit to make it more clear about the normative language we're using and benefits and not benefits and so on, and actually a large contribution from Sebastian. So that's the item one. And another change is on the terminology. We decided to remove the terminology of ASN, Autonomous System Member. We think that's probably too standard. We don't need it anymore, and we deleted it. And we added auto service as a terminology, so to define it clear, to introduce it. A major change from version 16 to 17 is we introduced the concept of resource ID. Because now we want auto to be more ambitious and want to handle multiple resources, and now we need to identify them. So therefore, for the ILD, we introduced a concept called resource ID. Essentially, have multiple resources, a network map would have resource ID, a cost map would have resource ID, and so on. Any property would have resource ID, and so on. And in ILD, an information resource directory, and then, of course, we have resource ID, and then version tag will have both resource ID, what resource it is, as well as a version number, really version number. So that's a major item change, and I think that change has substantially extended the protocol, and we're very happy about the change. Last major item is security consideration. A lot of contribution from a lot of people, Sebastian and Yang, and a lot of revisions. And I think now secure part, we believe it's pretty solid. Of course, if you read it and if you have any comments, we're more than happy to take it. Next slide, please. So now let me go over the proposed changes. And in particular, we want to make sure if you have any issue, and please do raise the point, and because otherwise we're going to plan to, right after the IETF, we're going to make a change from 17 to 18, and those changes will happen, and we hope that we are going to close the open issues very, very quickly. So therefore, please do raise the issues if you disagree, or you have different opinions, or have suggestions to improve on the proposed changes. Most of the changes actually are really focused on the IRD, the Information Resource Directory, because that's the center. That's the directory where the information resources are listed. A lot of consistency will be maintained here. So therefore, a lot of changes really focus on the IRD, Information Resource Directory. So let me start very simple. And the first change is proposal is from Wendy from this email. And the basic change in our structure is the current change is IRD, Information Resource Directory, is at least essentially an array and of all the resources, resource entries. And each resource entry will have resource ID and will have all the attributes, network map, cost map, end property, end cost service, and so on. And the change would be, actually change the format a little bit in terms of syntax, would be changed from a hash array. And the key of the hash array would be resource ID, and the value would be essentially the content. For example, default network map, and then you have the content of a map, and so on. We think this is a very simple change in terms of syntax, but actually would make the whole LD very clean and much easier to pass anyway, because typically people use JSON, and that's very easy to pass it. And also automatically would enforce, using this format, that all the resource IDs should be unique, because you cannot have the same key for the hash map. So that's the first proposed change. Very simple, very quick change. And I hope there's no objection or major discussion here. Okay, great. So now I'm going to move to the second item. And second item also related on the IRD, Information Resource Directory. Here is the issue with in that particular email. And the question is, the major question here is the following. So remember, we define cost types. We can have multiple cost types in auto and to guide the application. And one potential problem would be sometime would be what if we have different, essentially, let me give an example here is in the current spec, we can have a cost map. And there's no accept, which means it's unfiltered cost map. And our potential problem is we might have multiple entries of the same cost map for the same. So the potential downside then would be application would have to request for this one and then get essentially if you require to say multiple choices. And we want to get rid of that. So we still want to keep it as clean as possible. There's nothing wrong with version 17, but we want to change it. Just mean if accept equal to empty unfiltered cost map, and you can have only one entry. That's semantics, not enforced by syntax. But we want to enforce it. And number two also is, for example, if a cost map, and now you can really do the map filtering, basically you want to say, hey, I want to get a partial map of this cost map where, they, for example, round trip time delay is less than 50 milliseconds, and so on. And then you can still have multiple cost maps, and because that now here, you can really input the parameter of a cost type name. So that's the second change, basically means we're going to enforce those two constraints as semantics, meaning we're going to make a statement. They're not in syntax, and there will be semantic change to enforce, to make it cleaner and easier to enforce the integrity and the passing of the IRD. Any question, comments here? Okay, great. So far, so good. Next one. So next one, and now given that we have different cost maps and so on, and now we're going to actually make another enforcement, which is also on a semantic level, is that we're going to make a statement in the new draft that cost type plus network map would define a key for cost map. Okay? So what does it mean? That means now for the same network map, for the same cost type, you can have only one cost map. You cannot have multiple cost maps because that would be confusing. And previously, we do allow this one in terms of grammar. And even our actual grammar, we still allow it. But now with this definition means, okay, same cost type and same network, network and definition should have one cost map. I think that's a very clean change and would clarify and would simplify the implementation a lot as well. Any questions, comments on this part? Okay, wonderful. Next one. Next one is mark default if multiple network maps are presented. Remember, we do allow multiple network maps. We have say, multiple user cases where you might have present multiple network maps or applications. Some be coarse grain, some be fine grain, and some really network map, really, for example, really marking where the CDNs are and so on. Quite a lot of network maps. Another potential problem is for some very simple auto clients, they might be designed to handle only a single network map. Okay? So therefore, the proposed change is to label one network map as a default to help a client that is designed with dealing only one network map, and then we add statement that future extension might add other attributes such as gravity to distribute different maps. But so far this moment will be marker one as default, and for library, for example, want to really hide all the multiple maps, and we return the default to simplify the library's life a little bit. Question, comments? Go ahead.
Can you use the mic, please? this is Sabine.
Yes, Sabine.
Is there any way to represent the dependency between two network maps? For example, one being the subset or overset of the other one.
So the question, I can repeat the question. I think I heard her that well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to repeat the question. Yes. So the question is, can you mark a dependency, say, between two network maps? One might be a base map, another one will be a refinement, for example. Is that right, the way? Currently, I think we're not trying to handle this moment. Therefore, this moment, we're not saying one map is refining another one. I can imagine, for example, why you probably ask a question is, imagine the base map is very coarse grain and refined one would be refined, for example, say, hey, really. Therefore, if you mark a dependency, so therefore, people should, by default, pick the one which is not dependent on anyone, for example. That's automatically solve this issue. But this moment, I think the decision is we're not going to solve it this moment. Dependency of maps will be solved in the extension. Okay. Other questions? Comments? Great, wonderful. Okay, so next, go to the next one. And this one is actually a very extensive discussion among the editors and authors, and also some participants. And here the basic idea is, for auto we have network map and we have cost map, and now we can build ECS on top of those maps. At the same time, we want to maintain the flexibility that the ECS, the end cost service, which is essentially rank above multiple choices, may or may not be dependent on the maps. We don't want to enforce it. We want to give application flexibility. So therefore, we want to essentially add such a sentence. This already paragraph already in the current draft, but this, there's some revision of sentences on the draft to really enforce it. So the basic thing here, we'll emphasize simple implementation of ECS resource may compute the cost between two endpoints as the cost between the PIDs corresponding endpoints using one exposed network and cost map defined by the server. But however, to preserve flexibility, the ECS resource may omit declaring in the user attribute the network map and or cost map on which it depends. So you don't have to reveal it. So therefore, to still preserve flexibility, we don't have to say you must depend on a map because you could implement it without really building a map because you could have use an internal implementation without using such maps. Okay. Okay, so any questions or comments on this one? We're closing this issue as well. Okay, if no question, and our next one. Go ahead. Go back, yes.
Does that mean that you're basically using Auto Server as some kind of a distance computing protocol that does not need to use network and cost maps anymore and can use some routing protocol to give you the distances?
Yes, internally, we would allow them to implement ECS in that way. I think that's an interpretation. This probably is more useful for low traffic selection scenario. We still anticipate for a lot of traffic with a lot of requests, probably still be based on the maps.
Sorry, for the notes, what was the question again?
Okay.
I guess in a nutshell, you basically have a way to query the auto service in a way that does not use any network and cost maps. In other words, is it auto? I'm not sure anymore. Yeah, but you're free to, it's basically just a REST interface. You're using whatever you want underneath it, right? You're not using network and cost maps anymore.
But you're still using the ECS, which is the ranking map still. You can still use the endpoint property and so on. So we're basically, we're not trying to limit the constraint implementation. They could, and I could imagine they probably should always implement, but we want to maintain this flexibility.
This is Sebastian. Reading the headline of this slide, is it really ECS must not specify or is it does not have to?
That's a very good one. I was trying to fix the slides, and the title should be ECS may not, may omit specifying. I'm going to fix the slide. Right, we're trying to fix it, and good catch. Very good one, Sebastian. Okay. Oh, please, Mike.
Lin Li from China Mobile.
Can you use the other mic? That doesn't seem to work.
Hello?
Back one.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lin Li from China Mobile. If the server, you know, the other server decided to omit the declarations, so is it necessary to define a way of telling the other party that he's doing so?
I'm not going to get your full question. Which one is say one more time, sorry.
So if one party is decided to, you know, omit the other and entity's declaration, so is it necessary to tell in the other party that it is doing so?
I'm not sure I understand which party wants to omit, which was omitted. One party wants to omit another party. Are you talking about omit declaring the maps?
Yes.
Well, the intention is to omit, so therefore you're saying I may or may not depend on a network or cost map. So that's the semantics. It means you may omit, you say, hey, I'm not using any network or cost map, and that means it actually might be really actually using it, but doesn't want to tell you, but actually may not using it. For example, like another side, maybe really using some routing internal ranking system, but we don't know.
So you don't want to tell the other party what you
want to. We don't want to tell the clients. It's in the auto server. We don't want to tell the client. That's the intention.
But I think there may be use cases that client may, you know.
Right. If the server wants to tell the client, the server can always declare that. Say, hey, my ranking is based on this particular network cost map. You are better off to download the network and cost map yourself. Don't ask me. But that may be the case that they don't want to say that. So we give this flexibility to the server, not to the client.
Okay.
That's a decision. Okay.
So, a client can download the network and cost map.
Yes.
And then do a separate ECS query and find out if you're using that network and cost
map. They can verify, yes.
Okay.
If they want. Okay. So, good. I see there's no objection, right? Even though a lot of discussions. Do I understand correctly? Okay, next one. So, next one will be discussion. And the discussion would be tricky, so let me set the context, and we want ideas or insights from everyone. So here is the basic issue. For endpoint, for example, right now one the enforced endpoint property would be PID. What's the PID of the IP address? Okay. And it can also be, for example, future cost map. We have a cost map, for example, let's say routing cost. And you can say, hey, I only want to get part of a cost map where the round trip delay will be less than 50 milliseconds. Okay? And now let's imagine, for example, a problem. For network map, if we allow multiple network maps, now the client says, okay, tell me the PID of this client and now from which network map it is. So we don't have it. Okay? And now let's look at the future cost map. And you want to say, hey, I want to get a partial map where round trip time must be less than this value. And I want a future cost map. But if we allow multiple cost maps declaring the same IRD, then which one? Okay, so therefore we essentially just solve this issue because previously we have only one network map and one cost map, we don't have such a problem. But now we have such a problem and there are two design options and they are not even exclusive. Okay, design option one, and which is indicate dependency on uses in IRD. So basically, we say, hey, and suppose you have five network maps, and you declare, let's look at example of endpoint property lookup for the PID, and now you can declare 5 entries of endpoint properties. And each one will say, hey, I'm using a particular network map. Similarly for different cost filter maps, you can also say, use multiple, use cost map 1, use cost map 2, and to allow the filtering. Essentially, all this will be handled by the user's attribute in the IRD. Okay. And this one, what the benefit would be, simple, we don't change anything. We reduce number of input parameters to auto server. And also would allow explicit sharding to handle multiple maps. Imagine you have 5, for example, network maps and you want to put them at different servers, and automatically you can use different URLs and they are all automatically offloaded. Okay. So that's the advantage of option 1. And option 2 is you specify the base user ID network map or the cost map into the URI as part of input parameter. For example, to specify the resource ID of a network map to use for query for PID, and specify the resource ID of the cost map when querying for the future cost map. And the benefit is we compress IRDs and also use the same URI for multiple maps. You don't have to use multiple URIs because here, if you want to single, you would have to use different URIs. Of course, we can also combine both. We can allow both. You can imagine we can still get input, but still, for example, say suppose you have 5 network maps and you put map 1, map 2 in server 1, and 3 and 4 on server 2, and server, network 5 on the third server. And then different users, first one will be users 1 and 2, second one 2 and 4, last one uses 5, and now for 1 and 2, because you have 2 maps to use, and you have to specify which network map it is using when you query the network ID. So in taking this one, the problem is combine both, but of course that's my personal opinion, and I really want to listen to other people's opinions. Okay. No opinions?
Okay, so how many
people really understand the design problem here? Can you raise your hand, please? Nobody understands my question. Oh, okay.
One,
okay.
What's Wendy's opinion?
When the...
No, the mayor.
She doesn't reply yet. Yeah, so we don't know.
Okay, so I'll start.
Okay.
So, just to make sure I understood. So, suppose we have 5 network maps.
5 network maps. Okay.
In auto server, and I have. I would like to have the PID of one endpoint.
Yes.
Okay, and for example, these 5 network maps report on the same network zone.
They supposedly 5 maps model the same network, but with different granularity or different ways of
Flavors.
Yes.
And possibly I may have to describe the same network zone. I may construct, as an auto server information provider, I may construct or decompose or compose the PIDs in a different ways.
Yes.
So that means that an endpoint may have several possible PIDs.
5, up to 5 from
to
each
5?
Map.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I think the one question that rises and maybe that I would need some time to really look how it works is to figure out is this dependency, do I ask it, for example, as a client, do I ask, I would like to have the PID with respect to such and such network map, or would you say, okay, would you, for example, provide me a response with 5
different PIDs.
Oh, so you're giving option three, which is return all five maps for five PIDs. Okay.
Or more than one.
That's a possibility as well. But probably, yes, probably that's an option as well. Okay, BG.
So Vijay Gurbani, I think the fact that you know so many people have not had the chance to get a feeling for this, to me at least says that this is, might be one of those things that is esoteric enough that if we spin our wheels, you know, we won't be in a position to satisfy everybody.
Okay.
To the extent that you think this is a problem, I would just go with option one, because if the benefit is that, you know, the benefit of option one is that at least it is explicit.
Okay.
So it might increase the IRD, the size of the IRD, but you know, if somebody uses it, they'll deal with the increased size. But at least it's explicit. Let's pick one and get done with it.
Okay. Fair enough. Our opinions. So, Vijay voting for option one, and I think the problem that also is Richard Limi online. I believe he's also preferring option one. So I think we can probably take this question to the mailing and finalize it on this one.
And the proposed solution is option one at this point.
Okay, so.
Let's sure. not reopen the issue. Say this is what people present.
Okay, if object option one should raise the point, otherwise we'll go option one.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. Last slide, please. Okay, so here's the last slide. And so I took much more time. And that's essentially our proposed timeline, and we're going to, we promise, the authors promise, if we can resolve all the issues, we're going to revise draft by August 14th, and hopefully we're targeting, hopefully we're hoping that we can have last call on August 28th.
Richard, before this slide, I would like to ask anyone in the room who think there are other issues, other things, other points to be discussed, I would suggest that this is the best time for raising such issues. So,
this mic?
Yes.
Dan Zedorf. So I don't have an issue. So don't worry. It's just a general comment. I've been following the mailing list, and I know that certain people are implementing the Aalto protocol, and as they're doing so, they're having, you know, of course, issues all the time. I guess we have to acknowledge that this is always going to happen. So we have to, you know, and I think we should decide now that maybe we should close. And of course, you know, if the Aalto RFC is out there and people are continuing to implement it and it's going to be used, new issues are going to pop up. That's normal. I mean, we shouldn't wait until there are no issues anymore, right? That's a normal thing. Then there's the SPIS thing, and you have a new document. We have that all the time in the ITF. So what I'm saying is it's a good thing that people are implementing it and they are raising their issues on the mailing list, but we shouldn't think that there will be a time where there will be no issues anymore, and then we shouldn't wait for that. And rather say, I think most important issues have been solved, there will be future issues, and we will, you know, take that on the list for the next revision, but we should rather close the document. I'm saying that specifically because I'm also a co-author of a proposed extension, and I know many people in the room are, and, you know, we should close it rather soon, the core protocol, and then we can work on other stuff as well.
Definitely agree. Okay.
And also the chairs share the sentiment you expressed so well. Thanks for doing it.
Okay, so let's see if we can actually stick to this this timeline. I think it would be great if we could get something done. Otherwise, just like we cut off the mic, maybe we'll cut off new issue discussion on the mailing list so that nobody raises any new issues. All right, who's next?